I'm Tanzina Vega. Welcome back to The Takeaway. Last Friday, the National Labor Relations Board issued a ruling giving more power to employers and making it more difficult for workers to unionize and participate in collective bargaining. The NLRB ruled that franchise workers from a van service called Super Shuttle cannot unionize since they're considered independent contractors and not employees. Here to explain how this ruling might affect American workers is Bloomberg Law reporter Robert Iafola. Robert, welcome to the show.
Hey there.
Tell me about this specific case. What were the circumstances that brought this case to the NLRB in the first place?
Well, you had a company, Super Shuttle, that operates in the Dallas-Fort Worth airport. And in about 2005, they changed their business model from a more traditional employer-employee arrangement to a model where the drivers are independent contractors. So they had to buy or lease their own vans and pay a weekly fee, but then they get to keep the fares. So in this case, an amalgamated transit union wanted to represent these workers, and they had a petition with the NLRB.
And how did the NLRB decide?
So this case is about what protections you have under the National Labor Relations Act, which go towards your rights to organize, work together, to improve working conditions, to form a union, to collectively bargain. And so independent contractors don't have the right to unionize. So in this case, ultimately, the NLRB said, no, you can't unionize because you're not an employee.
In terms of the board itself, do these rulings become law? Like, what are these suggestions, or does this actually, because it feels like every administration, we're going to see some sort of political shift in this board.
It is law. It's a National Labor Relations Board's law. So that's determined by decisions, individual cases that come up, and then they set the standards for issues, you know, as they reappear before the board. But the board has the ability to reverse itself. So that often happens where when political control of the board changes, then they might reverse their own precedent. For example, the rights of graduate students that work as teaching and research assistants, that's something that's flipped back and forth depending on who has control of the NLRB.
What does this tell us more broadly about the context right now that workers, American workers, find themselves in? And I'm asking that because, for example, last week there were about 1,000 layoffs across the country in newsrooms, as I'm sure you know. Some of those folks had unionized. What does this tell us about the power of unions? Or what could this ruling tell us about the future power of unions?
Well, this ruling will make it harder for workers to unionize because it would make it easier for them to be classified as independent contractors. In general, there's sort of this trend where a lot of businesses look to shed the things that are outside of their core competencies and then contract out workers to fill in those roles. So an example that's often used is a hotel. The hotel might contract the security and the janitorial and housekeeping and the food services. So those are all independent contractors who wouldn't have the right to unionize.
Does this ruling sort of, you know, really shift the balance of power here to employers versus employees?
That might be overstating it, but it's part of an overall mosaic of decisions that if you look at what the difference is between the Obama National Labor Relations Board and the Trump National Labor Relations Board is a rollback of decisions from the Obama era that had been more worker-friendly, and you're seeing a series of rulings that are more employer-friendly.
Robert Iafola is a reporter for Bloomberg Law. Robert, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.